And I've been asked to introduce tonight's guest speaker, and he's going to have quite a story for you. But before I introduce him, I want to give you a brief history on why the Kinsman Foundation was started and how Telemiracle came into being. Now, none of you in this room are as old as I am, I can tell you right now. The foundation was approved at the district convention in Regina in 1971. At the district convention, its two main purposes were to, first of all, provide fellowship and service for the kinsmen and cadets on a provincial basis. We didn't have that. We all did our own community thing. We didn't have a fellowship tying us all together. And we felt that was very important when I was governor in that year, and so did the executive. And the second thing was to provide funding to anybody and everyone who had a physical, mental, or social disability and couldn't get funding from any other source. There was no other source they could go to. They'd have to come to the foundation. After its first few years of existence, it was quickly recognized that there was a huge financial need for the disability throughout the province of Saskatchewan. And if the foundation was going to succeed, it would have to find a new funding arm. In June of 1975, at the Yorkton District Convention, a resolution was passed to allow the foundation to run a nationwide lottery, only to be shot down in flames in August of that same year by the national executive, because selling tickets outside of one's provincial boundaries was in contravention of the Kinsman National Bylaws. So we got shot down. We got it passed on in your great area, but it got shot down. In the fall of that same year, there was an idea was presented to Urban about the possibility of hosting a telethon, and upon further investigation and study, and with the approval of the foundation board, Urban was appointed chairman to host such an event. In the next 16 months, Urban and his committee spent thousands of man hours, and you have no idea how many hours I'm talking about. I mean, he spent thousands of man hours researching every detail, including we went to a live telethon production in Edmonton on how to operate and run a successful show. I mean, Urban spent hours and hours, and Patty gave up hours and hours of time. And at age 32, Urban still found time to run a very large printing company and a family of five. Urban is a life member of the Saskatoon Kinsman Club. He's served on three district executives, so those who've been on district executive know what it takes to be on district. The legacy that Urban has left to Telemiracle is immeasurable. The format and the structure today is exactly the same as it was 32 years ago. Keith, you can tell me if I'm wrong, except for the odd tweak here and there by a Telemiracle chairman. The second thing is that you can only be Telemiracle chairman for 1 year. The Telemiracle moved, and I say that it was tongue-in-cheek because somebody made a mistake, but the idea was that Telemiracle would move on alternate years between north and south. And I understand it's going to be 2 years in the north, and I hope somebody made the resolution to go down and meet in the south. But anyways, that was the alternate, was to move back and forth. And finally, he proved that one could network the province by not only having the Kinsmen and Cadets of District 3 buy into the program, but the people of Saskatchewan accepted it as their project by selecting the amateur talent that you have on the Telemiracle, by selecting those people throughout the whole province of Saskatchewan. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you and call my good friend and pal, Urban Donlevy, to tell you the rest of the story.
I'd like to, just before I start, acknowledge something that was sort of what was going on when Peter was governor. Peter didn't mention in detail how this foundation started, but it started as a result of his will. This was not a popular idea in Saskatchewan with kinsmen when we presented the Kinsmen Foundation. At that time, many of the kinsmen clubs, the bigger clubs particularly, decided, and they went on the motto that they were going to serve the community's greatest need. And what was this foundation thing? Because it really didn't serve their community. And Peter and his executive went around Saskatchewan and sold Kinsmen on this concept of a province-wide organization that would fund, in the description that he just gave you, in terms of society's greatest need as a last resort. So in no small way was the Kinsmen Foundation anything but a perseverance of will and commitment on the part of Peter and his executive to get formed, to the extent that and he accepted the role as first chairman of it for 2 years. And this organization, remembering that it wasn't totally popular with everyone, had to create its own existence. And one of the sidebars of the story is that John Diefenbaker, who was retired from politics at that time, a former kinsman, actually funded, I think it was the first $25,000 to the $2,500. Being a Tory, we always exaggerate. But it's like 25,000 today's money. But in any event, you can get an appreciation of what this foundation was doing and trying to get money to get going, because there was no question there was a need. So I simply want to say, in an acknowledgement of Peter's contribution and that executive's contribution, the reason you have a foundation today was the commitment of a group of people to make it happen, and the rest of the story is where we are today. But Peter, you should be acknowledged, and you are acknowledged from all of us, for your contribution in getting the foundation going. As Peter has mentioned, the way this all started, I had the foundation chairman following Peter, and the mandate was given to me after I was chairman, after the car lottery was shut down by National, to look at telethons as a source of money. At the same time, the fellow by the name of Gord Tanner, who was a fundraiser with the Abilities Council, or what is today the Abilities Council, said, you got to go and look at what telethons are doing. This is, could be appropriate for Saskatchewan. So with the blessing of the foundation chairperson at that time, I think it was Dick Warren, we went to Edmonton, and then we went to Calgary to look and see how these telethons were working, and if in fact the telethon would work in Saskatoon or Regina or Saskatchewan. Well, we came back, and our report was, yes, we thought it could work if it was a province-wide telethon. It involved at least membership of two clubs to get it going, because it was a mammoth task in terms of manpower, and we had some money. Well, as you remember, the foundation didn't have much money. In any event, on a basically a decision of faith, they said, okay, well, if you can put this thing together, we'll find some money to get it started. So we formed a committee, the seed committee of two members of the Saskatoon Kinsmen Club, Billy and Dr. George Peacock, and two members of the Powys City Club, Grant Harding and Ian McGregor. And we started out to build a telethon. But I want to take you back to, this is the time when some of you were very young, where there was no Saskatchewan television network. This was impossible. You had CBC dominating the marketplace, and we're talking about a Saturday night and hockey night in Canada, and are you crazy? And CTV working together out of Saskatoon, are you crazy? Anyhow, with the help of some people you know, Jim Scarrow and Ted Ettinger from CFQC, we started out by trying to figure out if we could get the production of the technical side together on this show. So we traveled around the province, meeting with the various owners of the various television stations, and through their guidance, we got an acceptance that yes, they would book 20 hours, but the CBC was not giving up Hockey Night in Canada, so do whatever you want until 11 o'clock after the national news. Well, we were so smart, it didn't bother us. We thought we'd have a whole crowd anyhow. Also, we had no idea what to pay for this thing. Well, this is where Kinsman and Canets really operate best. When you don't have any money, or at least, but you got to rely on your wits and your friends around the province in business to help you. And through a bit of genius, they developed a rate card for the first telethon that Ted Ettinger from CFQC went out and Jimmy Scarrow went out and beat down every other television station to accept it. And it was a rate card that they'd never experienced before and weren't particularly happy with, but anyhow, we had the ball rolling. On the financial side, as I mentioned, we had a commitment of 40 grand to get us going. And in the course of traveling around, we met a couple of producers by the name of Barnetts, Peter and Jeffrey. And these people produced telethons. They were kind of interesting characters, I guess, in the world of show business, you'd call them impresarios, which is a nice word for crooks. Not really crooks, just impresarios. Any event, now we're rolling. And so the committee's meeting, and we're about a year away. And I can remember one particular time, I'm in Toronto, and there's a meeting happening in Saskatoon. And I get a phone call from one of the guys in the committee, and said, it's Joel Axel. He said, you don't have a telethon anymore. We've got a telemiracle. I said, what the hell is a telemiracle? We've come up with a name, and we're going to register it, and it's going to be ours, and it rocks. Let's go. So now we've got a telemiracle. So things are sort of starting to come together, and we're moving forward in terms of booking facilities. And it's becoming pretty clear that $40,000 is not going to get us to the home run. So our treasurer, Bill Lee, who was always the nervous person in the group, said, my budget, and this is 6 months out, my budget is $75,000, maybe. We better tell the chairperson of the foundation. So we phoned Dick Warren and Swift Current and said, Dick, you won't believe this, but we're a little over budget. We're still 6 months away from the show. How much? He says, well, I think we're going to be $75,000. He said, well, you just keep going. We won't tell anybody. But that's the truth. So while all these things were happening, we were booking the national entertainment. And one person we ran into was a fellow by the name of Blake Emmons, who sort of made his livelihood in telethons at that time. And Blake became associated with us. And with the Barnetts involved, they committed to bring in Artie Johnson, who was a big name at that time, Bob McGrath, who's still with us today and is the same person he was 33 years ago, and other national cast that shared the show. In any event, this is all fine, sort of the machine's going, but now we're hearing from the people. And the people are saying, hold it. This is 1976. There's no way that we, the handicapped, are going to go out there and you're going to put our people on the show and show them as abnormal. That was society then. And the organization was called the Voice of the Handicapped, and there was a number of people involved. We sat down with, in the true Kinsman spirit, and said, no. We're going to show the dignity and the pride and the purpose.
My fault.
Find that girl.
Wait a minute. Oh.
Over the side of arms.
It was $1 million gift taken. We're going to show the dignity and the lifestyle and people who have disabilities and the dignity of how they live through their life. And we came across a young girl by the name of Jody. Jody was, I believe, 12 or 13. And Jody became our heart, telemiracle. And she agreed, and her parents agreed, that Jody would be part of the first telemiracle. This little girl didn't have a long time to live. She had a disability that was ultimately going to kill her. But she said, yes, I'll do that for my friends. And at that point in time, all those other voices just sort of disappeared. Jody's our leader. So now we're getting close to the show. And needless to say, we're now kinsmen around Saskatchewan, who now reluctantly sort of accept the foundation. I shouldn't say they haven't really bought into it. About half the province in the group is bought into this telethon or telemiracle. So we're out looking for people to come to Saskatoon, clubs to come, and all those good things. And there was sort of, I would say, enthusiasm for maybe 25-30% of the kinsmen in Saskatchewan to this thing called telemiracle. And the rest was just sort of general apathy. Well, that's great. You guys do your thing. And then a miracle happened. And it was the Children of Saskatchewan. 3 weeks before the show, we started to get phone calls from high schools and grade schools and places around Saskatchewan about children wanting to raise money for telemiracle, and they were having pennies on the floor of the school gyms. They were having candy drives. And they were actually driving the teachers in the school to telemiracle, and in some cases, the parents who were kinsmen, it didn't have anything to do with it. And they took over telemiracle. The Children of Saskatchewan made telemiracle an uprising. Well, we knew that we were at least going on the right track, but we still had this issue of money. And Bill Lee, God bless him, the treasurer, now reports again, and he says, Herb, we got at least $200,000 in expenses. Well, we started with 40. There's another 30 that no one knows about. Now we got another 100 and something that we can't even talk about. Any event. Coincidentally, with the opening of telemiracle was the Saskatoon Kinsmen Club Sportsman's Dinner. And at that time, the chairman of the dinner was Terry Brash. And they brought in Bobby Hull, who was in a cast. He was still playing hockey, but he was in a cast at that time. Floyd Patterson and a number of other celebrities. And we asked them to stay over and appear on telemiracle. Which they did, and they didn't charge for it. They were paid by the Sportsman's Dinner, they came and stayed, so now we had more national cast. So, we'd gone out and done some interesting things. We got a commitment from the grain companies that farmers could take in wheat, oats, and barley, and they could get cash for them, and the grain company would send the money in to telemiracle as their contribution. And 77 was not a great year for farming, so that sort of added legs. In the meantime, we had worked on and had, we knew about around $45,000 in pledges that were going to come to us. And there was a very unique thing that happened. And this is, I don't know if this is a life lesson or not, but I'll just, you take from it what you want. We were told that these telethons, when we had one, it would be the biggest day for SaskTel that SaskTel ever had. Christmas was always their biggest revenue day, but the telethon day, it was going to be the biggest revenue day. So we went to the government and said, SaskTel, we'd like some money. Well, we left with no money. Then we went to the government and we left with no money. So we said, well, that's fine. I guess we'll do this without you guys. Thanks. So as this thing started to happen with the kids, and all of a sudden, the politicians start to get really hooked in this thing. We get this phone call from the Minister of Health, who'd like to come on our show at 2 o'clock and make an announcement about health. We said, we're sorry, we're busy. Yeah. And he didn't. Because this was the people talking. Yeah. This is what people can do when they get cooking. Anyhow, we now get to the show, and we've got more people than we could ever imagine wanting to help. We had McDonald's going to supply all the food, and then we thought, we're going to die on Big Macs in this thing. They said, no. They go out and buy sandwiches from real people for real sandwiches, and it was phenomenal. And the TV stations were involved, and by this time, there was quite an enthusiasm internally generated. Everyone was excited except Bill Lee, who knew how much money we had. Anyhow, as we get to the show, it was an incredible thing, and this was, I haven't told this story very often, but just before the show started, we had a little dinner in the Holiday Inn, which is now whatever it's called, the Quality Inn, I guess, Hilton, and we put a bet around the table as to how much money we'd raise. And believe me, we did have no idea how much money we'd raise. So the first in was Bill Lee. He put $212,000. But then he knew exactly what this thing was going to cost. And there was Grant Harding, put a number in. We all put numbers in. And Blake Emmons, who was with us, put in, now this is an unbelievable story, and he'd never been to Saskatchewan before, $1,200,000. That was his bet. Anyhow, off to the show we go. Now we start the show, and in putting the thing together, we needed people in Saskatchewan could relate to start the show. And without question, everyone in the business said, you gotta have Jim Scarrow and Jack Sennon from Prince Albert, because everybody knows those two guys, and they trust them. So they opened the show, and they'd opened many shows. It was called the ECT Amateur Hour, right? You remember that? We got things rocking, but half the country was watching Hockey Night in Canada. Because we couldn't get, the deal was, we don't have any provincial coverage, because we had to get in through Lloydminster and come back around through the CBC network to tie up the station. So basically, we opened the show with Saskatoon, Regina, and that was pretty well it. Anyhow, the show opened, and we brought Jody on, and people understood what Jody was saying. They understood what we're trying to do, those who were watching, and the show started. After the CBC National News, our ratings went up significantly, because there was nothing else to watch. And at that point in time, we had the full network working. At 2:50 in the morning, from the Treasury, which you people who've worked the show know, we get this phone call down to the production desk from Bill Lee. He said, turn it off. What's going on, Bill? Turn it off. He says, we got the money. Shut it down. Let's get out of here. That's exactly what he said. I said, Bill, I think we'll keep going. It could get better. Any event, as the show went on, the next morning at 9:30, a Sunday morning at 9:30, and Paul Peters, who was the chairman, the head of the auditorium, came to the production desk and he said, we've got a problem. He said, there's 800 people trying to get in this building. The fire marshal shut it down. We're full. And they're going to come through the glass. They got money and they want to give money to Telemerco. 800 people with money and they're pushing the windows. What do we do? Well, we got Bobby Hull and his cast and Floyd Patterson and a couple of the national cast found some Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets and sent them outside to get the money. And they did. They went outside and they collected all the money. Then we had phone calls coming in about people who were going door to door collecting money on behalf of Telemerco in Saskatoon, Regina. We got a call from Lloydminster, one from Prince Albert. You got to stop these people. We said, no, we can't stop them. They're out collecting money for Telemerco, and hopefully they'll send it to us. We don't know who they are. And that happened. Well, as the show went on, we finished the show at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We went off the air with $1.212 million. And the phones never quit ringing until 7 o'clock. We had a little party lined up after, but no one could leave because the phones never stopped. And at 7:05, the last phone call came in to the first Telemerco. The neat thing about it was that we accomplished what we set out to do. We raised some money, yeah. But I think, to a large extent, we today in society in Saskatchewan can look at that as a watershed event in terms of the respect we have for the challenged people of our society. Today, they're not the outcasts they were in 76, 74, 75. We accept them and we respect the role that they have to play in the dignity in which they live their life. The the neat thing about Telemiracle was the experience to do it and to work with some really neat people, make some really good friends around the province to do something good for Saskatchewan. And I didn't realize this, but it was told to me by someone who doesn't live here anymore just recently when I ran into them in Toronto, but who did live here then. Said, you know something, Saskatchewan to me is known for the Rough Riders and Telemiracle, and both of them are winners. That was before the breakup. But it has, to some extent, embodied the opportunity to give on the part of all of Saskatchewan at one time to one cause, be known as people of Saskatchewan. And that part is the legacy that you folks are dealing with today and the trust that you've inherited from the people who give you the money. And that is a bond because they trust you. And you show them every year what you do with the money, and they continue to trust you and leave you more money. And Telemiracle is just an opportunity for them to experience the opportunity to trust. We ran into Artie Johnson in the Los Angeles airport, Patty and I did a couple of years ago, and I missed a little part of this earlier. When the show got going, Artie Johnson, who was from Laugh-In, which really dates us, said, this wheat, oat barley, what's this wheat, oat, it doesn't work. He said, we'll call it WOB. And that's what he called it, WOB. On the show, it was WOB. Send your WOB into the wheat pool, whatever. Yeah. He didn't know what he was talking about, but he played on it. So we ran into him in Los Angeles airport a couple years ago, and Artie's there. Walked up to him. Artie, you remember me? He said, no. Nor should he. I said, Saskatoon Telemiracle. He says, oh yeah, WOB in cold weather. He says, what's happening? I says, is this still going, Artie? Is it getting any warmer? I said, I don't think so. We're both in Los Angeles. Anyhow, that's sort of my recollection of the first Telemiracle. It happened because a lot of good people came together, and it happened without any assistance from anybody except us